members who's completed their salah, please come forward, mashallah. Fill in the gaps. Try to sit in the middle. Come close, brothers, mashallah. Our deen of Islam is all based on adab and discipline, very important. In Urdu, they say, ba adab ba nasib, be adab be nasib. Person who has discipline and adab and respect and azmat for the deen, Allah Ta'ala will elevate him, Allah will excel him, he will advance. The person doesn't show respect and azmat to the deen of Allah, then Allah is ghani, my dear brothers, Allah is samad. So it's important that we show that zeal. We've come to learn. This is an educational program. Learn how to get close to Allah, how to bring the deen of Allah in our lives. The responsibilities we as an ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have on our shoulders. What responsibilities we have. As an individual, what responsibilities. As a collective ummah, what responsibilities. So listen with an attentive ear, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala will bestow the nur of the talk in our hearts, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم الحمد لله. First of all, it's a wonderful honor to be here, and jazakallah khair to Imam Saab and the organizers of today's event. Thank you for honoring me with your invitation, and I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables me to speak words which are beneficial first and foremost to myself. One of the early lessons which I learned on my quote-unquote spiritual path many years ago. In fact, you could say that my spiritual path actually started in Lancaster, because one of the first weekend retreats we did many years ago, I think it was 98 or 99, was in Lancaster, in the old masjid. I distinctly remember spending a weekend there, and for some reason I have a memory of, there used to be Ibn Kathir, Stories of the Prophets, was on the bookshelf. And I was just intrigued. I was maybe 16 or 17 years old. I met Yusuf for the first time. You were a teenager then as well, weren't you? Still young at heart, mashallah. And I remember staying awake till about 3 in the morning, reading the story of Adam alayhi salam, how he was created, how the soul was breathed into him, and the angels were ordered to prostrate before him. And I'd just never come across this level of detail before. So alhamdulillah, that was many years ago, and I hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this a means of all of us drawing closer to him. As I mentioned, one of the early lessons which I learned actually was somebody taught me that whenever you speak to an audience or you go to meet someone for the sake of Allah, you should make a dua to Allah, a prayer to Allah, a supplication. And the dua sincerely should be that, oh Allah, protect the people from the evil within me and allow me to benefit from the good within them. And it's a very beautiful dua. And there's actually a story of one of the prophets of ancient times, whose name isn't mentioned. But it says that he passed by a group of people in a village or a town. And he asked them that, bring me the best amongst you. So the people went, they consulted amongst themselves, and they decided that such and such a person is the most pious, the most righteous, the most God-fearing. So they summoned that person and they presented him before the Prophet. And obviously the Prophet has a maqam, he has a status in the eyes of Allah. And so the Prophet said to this man, who they brought as the best amongst them, that bring me the worst amongst you. Now you go and bring me the worst amongst you. So the man went, and after a while he came back and he said, I searched far and wide, but I could find nobody in this town or this city who is worse than I. I am the worst amongst the people. So the Prophet said that your people chose correctly. You are indeed the best amongst them. It's a very beautiful story. So because he genuinely considered himself to be the lowest of the low, and he thought of himself to be the most sinful, the most undeserving, and the most unworthy, in actual fact, these are the necessary prerequisites for a person to be elevated indallah, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can never lose sight of this, is our foundations and our roots. And everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. So this is a reminder, it's a tazkira. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind, because reminding is beneficial for the believers. And it's important to remind one another, because the root word of the root, the semantic or the linguistic field of the word for human being is insan, and it's connected etymologically to the word nisyan, which means forgetfulness. And so it's part and parcel of the nature of the human being to forget. And sometimes we forget very simple things, like where did I put my keys, or where did I put my sunglasses, or sometimes we forget where did I park my car, or we had an appointment at 3 o'clock and suddenly it's 3:30 and we think, oh my God, I forgot about the appointment. So these things are minor things in life, but it's part and parcel of the nature of insan. However, unfortunately, the tragedy can arise when insan, the human being, can forget the major things in life. We can forget the existential cosmic questions of who am I? Where did I come from? And the Quran asks a beautiful question, فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ? Where are you going? We can forget these questions. Where are we going? What is my destiny? Why was I born? Why does my heart beat? Who created me? Why did he create me? What is the purpose and the function of my existence? Why did I come forth from the womb of my mother? These are the questions of ultimate concern. The philosophers call them the questions of ultimate concern. Not what jacket shall I wear in the morning, or shall I purchase red socks or blue socks, right? Or should I support Manchester United or Liverpool, right? These are the big questions of ultimate concern are these questions. Why am I here? And if you think about the vast vistas of eternity which await us after death, and we think about the countless millennia, the eons of time which passed before we entered into this world, and then we consider our insignificant, puny human existence in the context of the billions of years that passed prior to us coming into this world, and the millions of years which will pass after we leave. Like one of the poets said, what is man except for a star which flashes light brilliantly for a brief moment, only to be extinguished forever? So we have a brief moment of light and we have a brief moment of life. And these seconds accumulate to become a lifetime. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah has a beautiful book which I recommend everyone who's serious about connecting themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a short book, but it's a very powerful book. It's called Bidayatul Hidayah, The Beginning of Guidance. And it's actually a primer to Ihya Ulumuddin, which is a more detailed, complex text. But this is like an introduction. And it's available in English translation by White Thread Press. And it's very nice because the Arabic's on one side, the English is on the other side. So if someone's a student of Arabic, you're able to marry up the two quite easily. But one of the things he says in this book is, فَكُلُّ نَفَسٍ مِّنْ أَنْفَاسِكْ جَوْهَرٌ. He says, every breath from amongst your breaths is a jewel, لَا قِيمَةَ لَهُ, which is priceless, إِذْ لَا بَدَلَ لَهُ, it is irreplaceable, فَإِذَا فَاتَ فَلَا عَوْدَةَ لَهُ, and once it is gone, it can never ever be retrieved again. So think to yourself, these inhalation and exhalation, we inhale oxygen, we exhale carbon dioxide, that's a breath which has passed. This breath and this moment will never ever return again in our lives. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only takes oaths, aqsam, the plural of qasam, oaths. He only takes oaths by monumental things in the Quran. And one of the oaths which is taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on the subject of time. Wala asr, I swear by time. Innal insana lafi khusr. Indeed, the human being is in a state of loss. And if you read the tafsir of this, it says that time is the capital wealth of man. Time is the capital wealth of man. One of the mantras of a materialistic, capitalistic society is time is money. And that's, people literally translate time into money, that the more time you have, the more opportunity you have to acquire and obtain the material things of this world. But according to the Hadith and the Quran, time is something which is priceless, because time is the very substance of life. And simply by virtue of being alive upon the earth, we are perpetually in a state of loss. Because today, we have lost a day which will never return again in our lives. And there's one riwayat, a hadith, to the effect that every morning when the sun rises, two angels rise with the sun, and they make a proclamation to the people of the earth. They say, "Children of Adam, do whatever good you can do today, for this day shall never return in your life." And it says, again, there's a narration to the effect that at the end of each day, the kiram and katibin, ya'lamuna ma tafa'alun, they know what we do. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ma yalfidhu min qawlin illa ladayhi raqibun atid. Not a word that does the human being utter, except that there are two gods ready to record, two scribes ready to write down. And so every word we utter is being recorded. This is part of our iman, our aqidah. And at the end of the day, like an envelope, that page is folded up and sealed and stored away. And then the next day, it's a blank slate again. And that's why there is a hadith to the effect, authentic hadith, that each man rises in the morning as a vendor of his own soul. Either he sets it free or he seals its destruction. So at the beginning of each day, we have a blank slate, and then we fill the day with a'mal. And it's either a'mal as-salih or a'mal as-su. They're either righteous actions which take us, and listen to the dua of the Prophet. Honestly, in fact, some of the ulama say that one of the dala'il, the evidences, that this was an authentic and genuine and true messenger of Allah. He wasn't a charlatan or a fake. Ma yantiqu anil hawa in huwa illa wahyu yuha. He does not speak of his own desire. It's nothing but revelation sent down upon him. Some of the ulama say one of the evidences that he was an authentic messenger from Allah is simply the du'as that he made. Nobody but a prophet could have asked for such things. There's such wisdom, there's such beauty, and there's such majesty embedded within these words, hidden within these words. And to supplicate to Allah using these words, it refreshes and revitalizes our iman. So one of the du'as of the prophet is, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah وَمَا قَرَّبَ إِلَيْهَا مِنْ قَوْلٍ أَوْ عَمَلٍ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ النَّارِ وَمَا قَرَّبَ إِلَيْهَا مِنْ قَوْلٍ أَوْ عَمَلٍ. O Allah, I ask of you paradise and that which takes me closer to paradise, مِنْ قَوْلٍ أَوْ عَمَلٍ, by word and by deed. And I seek protection in you from the fire of hell, and that which takes me closer to the fire of hell, by word and by deed. In other words, our words and our actions, we're planting seeds. Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah. Each man arises in the morning as a vendor of his soul. Either you set it free or you seal its destruction. So it's a blank slate. And if you think of a farmer who has a virgin plain, a virgin land, and it's ready to be planted with seeds. And depending on the seeds that he plants, such will be his, like they say in English, the proverb, as you sow, S-O-W, as you sow, so shall you reap. And in Urdu they say, jaise karna, waise bharna. So as you sow, so shall you reap. And so this life, ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah, is a plantation for the hereafter. There's actually five stages of life. Hayatul dunya is one of five stages, according to the ulama. One of them is pre-birth, before we came into this world. And this connects to the theme of today's talk, which is finding home in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this connects to a broader question of who we are and where are we and where will we, like there's a proverb in English, home is where the heart is. So where is your heart and who does your heart feel comfortable with? So before we came into this world, there was a plane, an arena of existence which predated our birth, the preconceptual realm. And after we leave this world, there's many more stages which will also come. So prior to coming into this world, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. When your Lord took forth from the loins of our father Adam, عليه السلام, his progeny, in other words, the souls of all of humanity, Bani Adam, Muslim or non-Muslim, white, or black, whichever part of the world we live in, whichever time period that it was destined for us to be born, Allah drew forth the souls of all of humanity prior to sending them into this world. And He made them testify concerning themselves, asking a question, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ Am I not your Lord? قَالُوا بَلَى شَهِدْنَا Every soul testified in affirmation, of course you are our Lord. How can we deny the existence and the majesty and the splendor of the Lord of the throne when He is manifest before us? Then each one of us individually, there's a hadith narrated in both Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَيَجْمَعُ فِي بَطْنِ أُمِّهِ أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلًا نُطْفَةً It's a quite a long hadith, something to the effect. Indeed, each one of you is formed in the womb of your mothers for 40 days or for 40 nights as a nutfa. ثُمَّ كَانَ عَلَقَةً مِثْلُ ذَلِكَ And then it's a alaqa for a similar period of time. And then it's a mudgha for a similar period of time. So this indicates the period of what the scientists call gestation, which is the science of embryology. How the fetus develops in the womb of the mother. And wallahi, this is sufficient for a person to testify La ilaha illallah. It's an absolutely amazing, miraculous process that takes place. From a single drop of, and again in the Quran, this is one of the most common motifs and themes of the Quran, again and again and again. فَلْيَنْذُرِ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّ خُلِقُ Let the human being consider, look upon, reflect, think, cogitate, use your faculty of thought, the faculty of cognition. The aql which Allah has given you is designed to be used upon reflecting, tadabbur and tafakkur, reflecting and contemplating over the wonders of His creation. That's why He bestowed you with an intellect, so that you actually use your brain. But how do we use that? By reflecting and contemplating. Where did this come from? So just consider the miraculous process. There was nothing there. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا Has there not passed a period of time over the human being when he was nothing, not even mentioned? It's a rhetorical question. It's a linguistic technique in literature which is called a rhetorical question. In other words, it's framed as a question, but Allah doesn't want us to answer. The reason it's framed as a question is in order to stimulate thought. That has there not passed a period of time over the human being when he was nothing, not even mentioned? So think and reflect. 100 years ago, none of us existed. And 100 years from now, none of us will exist. But temporarily, we have a brief moment right now of existence, of life. And then Allah says, إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِن نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ Indeed, we created the human being from mingled fluid, نَبْتَلِيهِ In order to test him, فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا We bestowed upon him the faculties of hearing and seeing. So these are gifts. How did inanimate cells suddenly be activated with the ability, like certain cells, the bastula, which is a ball of cells, it begins as a zygote, which is a single unicellular entity. And then over time, it transforms itself into a ball of cells. And this process in which it replicates, literally, the scientists don't know why it happens. They can describe to you how it happens, but why does it happen? If you have a drop of milk, it doesn't transform itself into a cow. If you have a drop of water, it doesn't transform itself into a reservoir. But this drop, the nutfa, transforms itself, and it begins to replicate. And from a single cell, you have a ball of cells called a bastula. And then certain cells develop the ability to detect sound vibrations. These become the cells of the ears. Other cells develop the ability to perceive light, and they become the cells of the eyes. And other cells develop the ability to transmit electronic impulses, and these become the cells of the nervous system. Other cells solidify in a process known as ossification. These become the cells of the skeleton. But then the skeleton is not all like a scarecrow where we're all rigid. But then look at the joints that we have. So we can actually grasp things with our hands. We can bend our arms. We can bow down in ruku and sijda, right? So there's stiffness there in terms of the bones, but there's also flexibility. So look at the perfect mizan, the perfect balance. And then look at the symmetry, that there's two ears on either side, there's two eyes, there's two arms and two hands and two feet and two knees. There's kidneys within us which have symmetry. But then there's only one heart on one side. Subhanallah. So this is something which is worth reflecting. And Allah says, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Within your own selves, don't you see? So reflecting and contemplating over the creation of Allah is one of the ways through which we can arrive at an awareness and a recognition of who Allah is, the ma'rifat of Allah, the tadabbur and tafakkur. And this was one of the functions of the Anbiya. The Anbiya were the prophets, the people who came from Allah. And their basic function was to turn the gaze of the creation from the creation and towards the Creator. To turn the gaze of the creation from the creation and towards the Creator. To allow their souls to recognize the one who made it. To allow them to fall in love with the one who causes their heart to beat. That's the basic function of why we were born, why we came into this world, and why Allah sent prophets. Because insan comes from nisyan. So we fall into a state of ghafla, heedlessness and forgetfulness. And to remind us, Allah sent the prophets into this world. So to recap, five stages of life. One is before we came into this world. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drew forth from the loins of Adam alayhi salam the souls of all his progeny, and he made them testify concerning themselves, and asked, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ, am I not your Lord? And every soul testified, قَالُوا بَلَا شَهِدْنَا. At that point, it was imprinted, it was stamped onto the deepest recesses of our souls that Allah is our Rabb. And this constitutes the basic foundation of human nature. This is what it means to be human, to recognize the rububiyat of Allah and the abdiyat of insan. We were stamped onto our hearts and stamped onto our souls. Now we enter into the world, each one of us is taken and we're placed. So when the fetus reaches 120 days in terms of its gestation, then ثُمَّ يُرْسَلُ إِلَيْهِ مَلَكٌ. According to the hadith, an angel is deputed. It brings forth a soul who's already testified. Then the soul is breathed into the fetus. And when the soul and the body come together, that's when the human being comes alive. And a few months later, we pushed into this world. ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ. There's a beautiful set of verses at the end of the Quran in Surah عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى. Allah says, قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَ. Woe be to the human being. What has made him disbelieve? There's so many verses like this where Allah is complaining about insan. كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ. How can you disbelieve in Allah? وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتَ. When you were dead, you had no existence. ثُمَّ أَحْيَاكُمْ. Then Allah brought you into existence. ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ. Then he'll cause you to die again. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. And then he'll return you back to him again. So here Allah says, that's at the beginning of the Quran in Baqarah. But at the end of the Quran, in Surah Abasa wa Tawalla, Allah says, قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَ. Woe be to the human being. What has made him disbelieve? مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ. From what stuff was he created? مِنْ نُطْفَ. From a drop, as we talked about. What's the next verse? خَلَقَهُ فَقَدَّرَ. We created it and we shaped it, we fashioned it. ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ. So Allah shaped it and fashioned it in the womb of the mother. Jazakallah khair. ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ. Then we made his path easy. And the ulama say this refers to the period of childbirth, of being pushed into the world. ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ فَأَكْبَرَ. And after this we will cause him to die and cause him to be buried. ثُمَّ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْشَرَ. Then when we will, he shall be resurrected again. So the constant theme of the Quran is, think back to the origin, the reality of your own existence. You were nothing, you never existed. Allah brought you forth into existence. Yet this existence is only temporary. Do not, like one of the pious people, the friends of Allah said, that the pride of a proud man, the arrogance of an arrogant man, amazes me. The day before he was nothing but a drop of dirty fluid. And tomorrow he shall be nothing but a rotting carcass. And yet he has the audacity to walk about with arrogance today. So never forget the reality of who we are. We are insan and we are completely, utterly in need every moment for oxygen. If Allah was to cut off the oxygen, who here has power to control their own heartbeat? And even more than this, who is even aware of what's happening within their body whilst they are sleeping? You have no idea what's going on. So whilst you're blissfully asleep, you have absolutely no consciousness or awareness of the fact that your bodily functions are all working in perfect harmony. Your food is digesting, your lungs are breathing, your heart is beating, the blood is flowing. And yet, how can we fail to give thanks to the one who is the very source of all the blessings which we have? وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to attempt to enumerate the blessings of Allah, you'd be unable to do so. So this world is a manifestation of Allah's bounty upon His creation. And some of insan, like humanity, is split into those who recognize it and acknowledge it, and then they bow and prostrate before the Lord. What's the dua for drinking water? Does anyone know the dua for drinking water? The sunnah dua. As I mentioned before, that one of the proofs of the prophethood of Rasulullah ﷺ is just the du'as he made. They're so beautiful. So does anyone know the du'a for drinking water? Get a brownie point. Alhamdulillahi alladhi saqana azban furatan birahmatihi walam yaj'alhu milhan ujajan bidhunubina. Subhanallah. What a beautiful du'a. There's a verse of the Quran. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. In Surah Al-Waqi'ah. Afara'aytumul ma'a alladhi tashrabun. Don't you see the water which you drink? أَأَنْتُمْ أَنْزَلْتُمُوهُ مِنَ الْمُزْنِ أَمْ نَحْنُ الْمُنْزِلُونَ. Allah's asking the human beings, are you the ones who caused this to descend from the heavens? Or are we the ones who caused it to descend? لَوْ نَشَاءُ جَعَلْنَاهُ أُجَاجًا فَلَوْلَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Allah says, if we wanted, we could have turned this into acid rain. We could have made it bitter and salty and unpalatable. فَلَوْلَا تَشْكُرُونَ. So why don't you give thanks? So the dua of the Prophet when he drank water, all praises for Allah. Saqana azban furatan birahmatihi. Who has given us fresh, sweet water to drink, birahmatihi, through his mercy. Walam yaj'alhu milhan ujajan bidhunubina. And he did not make it salty and bitter because of our sins. What does this mean? We deserve acid rain. We deserve salty water. Because who is there amongst us who has fulfilled the right which is due from us to Allah? لو أن رجلا يخر على وجهه من يوم ولد إلى يوم يموت في مرضات الله عز وجل لحقره يوم القيامة. Indeed, if a human being was to throw himself upon his face in a constant, perpetual state of sujood and prostration from the day he was born until the day he died with a stamp of ikhlas only for the pleasure of Allah, in spite of this deed, he would still consider it to be insignificant on the Day of Judgment. Because when we count the blessings and the bounties of Allah, and look at, so one of the great scholars, the mystics of the past, Ibn Ata'illah al-Iskandari, he has a book of hikam, of wisdoms, the aphorisms. Again, that's available in English as well. And one of the beautiful things he says is, if you want the door of sadness, if you want the door of hope opened for you, then look at what comes to you from him. But if you want the door of sadness open for you, look at what goes to him from you. Subhanallah. So look at the bad. It's an unreciprocal relationship. He is showering his bounties upon us constantly, 24/7. And for a few brief moments here and there, up, down, touch the ground, turn around, go to town. We offer salah which is not even worthy of being called a salah. One of the great scholars of the subcontinent in recent times, Sheikh Muhammad Zakariya Kandahalvi, one of his students said to him, his disciples, that, Sheikh, I fear that I don't have a single salah in my account which is worthy of presenting before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Sheikh replied to the student that you are speaking of a single salah which you do not have to present before Allah. I cannot think of a single sujood which I have which is worthy of presenting before Allah. So look at the bounties which is bestowed upon us. And look at the ingratitude of insan. Innahu kana zaluman jahula. We are wrongdoing and ignorant. We just take and eat and consume and squander. We violate the blessings of Allah. But we give very little back in return. So yawm al-qiyamah is the day that the debts fall due. Khafidat al-rafi'ah. Those who are high and mighty and proud and powerful in this world shall be brought low. The day on which the tables are turned. And those who were humble and meek, those who were tyrannized and oppressed in this world, their rights were squandered, they were trampled upon, and they were disregarded by the people of the world. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, they shall be the kings of paradise. khafidatul rafi'ah. This world is not the be-all and end-all, my dear brothers. There's a beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says to the effect that on the day of judgment, a man shall be brought forth who lived his whole life in luxury and comfort. And he basically had, I'm just paraphrasing, he had everything he wanted in this world. There was no moment of sadness which passed over him. Yet on the day of judgment, he shall be dipped into the fire for a brief moment. Then he shall be pulled out and he shall be asked, "Son of Adam, did you ever enjoy any luxury or comfort? Did you ever experience any happiness in Hayatul Dunya, the life of this world?" And he will say, "La wallahi, by Allah, I swear, never did I enjoy any happiness or bliss." So one moment in Jahannam is sufficient for him to forget, for to wipe out an entire lifetime of happiness. And on the other hand, a man who lived his whole life in difficulty, in tribulation, in hardships, he shall be brought forth on the day of judgment. For one moment he shall be dipped into paradise. Then he shall be brought forth and he'll be asked, "Son of Adam, did you ever experience any difficulty, any hardship?" He will say, "La wallahi, never have I experienced anything." Wal akhiratu khayru wa abqa. The life after death is the real life, the enduring life. The intensification of experience takes place in the akhirah. The joys of this world are a mere shadow compared to the joys of the next world. And the pain of this world is a mere shadow compared to the pain of the next world. The real life, la aisha illa aisha al-akhirah, the real life is the life coming after death. So the five stages, one before we come into this world, the second is hayatul dunya, now where we are. But then there's three stages which come after death. The third stage, the immediate stage that begins at the point of death. So in the same way that an angel was deputed and he breathed the soul into the fetus, another angel will be deputed. قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ أَلَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ تُرُجَعُونَ. Say, the angel of death who has been appointed, he shall indeed take forth your soul, then you shall return back to your Lord. So this is a temporary journey. And in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a beautiful analogy, because he was the best of teachers. Once he came and shook the tree and the leaves fell off in great numbers. And he said, "Do you know why I did?" And he said, "Because when a believer makes his wudu and offers his salah, then the limbs, the sins fall off his limbs like the leaves are falling off this tree." Now he could have just said that. But what did he do? He did an action first in order to arrest the attention of the people. And then he stimulated their curiosity. And then he did, so it's a much more effective method of teaching. It's called pedagogy, how to teach in a way that the students actually learn and take things within. So similarly, here he gave an example, an analogy. He said, "What have I to do with this world? My example is like that of a rider who, during the course of his journey, for a short while, because of the heat of the afternoon sun, he takes rest under the shade of a tree. And after resting for a while, he remounts his riding beast and he continues on his journey." So this brief time that we have on earth between birth and death, which we call life, the moments, the seconds accumulate to become a lifetime. This is just the time which we are spending under the shade of the tree. Before we came here, there was a period where we existed spiritually but not physically. And after we pass from this world, death is nothing but your handshake with eternity. Death is nothing but your handshake with eternity. لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. Indeed, you will pass from stage to stage. So intiqal is to transition. We move from this world. And just as you are a fetus nurtured in the womb of the world, death shall be your birth. So just as we were born into this world from the womb of our mothers, the world itself is a womb and it will push us into the next world. And that's when the real life, and the Quran says in very beautiful imagery, when وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ, when the stupor of death grasps them in truth, ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدْ, this is the thing from which you used to flee. وَنُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ, when the trumpet is blown, ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ الْوَعِيدْ, this is the day about which you were promised. وَجَاءَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَعَهَا سَائِقُ وَشَهِيدْ, and every soul shall come forth with a driver and a witness. لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا, about this day of judgment, were you in heedlessness. فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ, now has your veil been ripped away from your eyes. فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ, and piercing is your sight on this day. All the things about which you were promised in this world suddenly become manifest before you in the next world. And the essence of Iman, who knows the definition of Iman? The definition of Iman, there's two definitions. One is lugat ki i'tibar se, and one is the technical shari'i definition. So the linguistic definition is to believe in what somebody tells you based on trust of them, anything. And so if someone was to come in here and say, your car has a flat tire outside. Now, I've not seen the car, but I'm taking his word on trust, whoever the person is. And so I have brought Iman in his words that my car has a flat tire. But the Shari'i definition, the Islamic, the technical, theological definition is slightly more focused. To believe in whatever the prophets tell you based on trust of them. This is the essence of Iman. Is they brought knowledge of the unseen. عَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَنِ النَّبَأِ الْعَظِيمِ. Concerning what are they disputing about the monumental news, the naba'. And the very word naba' comes from Nabi Anbiya, because this is the function of the prophets. They brought knowledge from the Lord of the worlds and they presented it before the people. وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Say, this is the truth from your Lord. Whoever wills, let them believe. Whoever wills, let them disbelieve. Our iman brings no benefit to Allah. And our kufr does not harm him. Because how can a mosquito sting the sun? Allah does not need his creation. إِنْ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ. We are in need of him. So just to summarize, before we came into this world, our souls testified that Allah is one. Now, in this period of time, we are being tested. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. To test you, which of you is the best in action. But soon this period of examination will finish. And one by one by one by one by one, individually, we shall be called to return back to our Lord. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And then the third stage begins, which is the life of the grave. عَلَمِ barzakh. And then the grave will transform itself on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when the trumpet is blown. And this is one of the most scariest aspects. And I really recommend people should read the Quran, especially the final Juz Amma. Just read it in translation. And it's sufficient to bring our dead hearts back to life again. And that's the function of the Quran. اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. Know that Allah brings a dead earth back to life. And some of the ulama say that the earth is a metaphor for the heart. And just as the earth can die, so can the hearts die. And just as the life, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجْعِ وَالْأَرْضِ ذَاتِ الصَّدْعِ, just as the life-giving rains fall from the heavens and bring the dead earth back to life again, Allah's mercy and his revelation, فَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ آثَارِ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ كَيْفَ يُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا, descend from the heavens. And this is sufficient to bring our dead hearts back to life again. So we should really immerse ourselves in the message of Allah, which he encapsulated in the final revelation, which was bequeathed upon Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the blowing of the trumpet is something which إِذَا السَّمَاءُ فَطَرَتْ إِذَا السَّمَاءُ شَقَّتْ إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا الْحَاقَّةُ مَا الْحَاقَّةُ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحَاقَّةُ الْقَارِعَةُ مَا الْقَارِعَةُ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْقَارِعَةُ إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ. All of these verses are when the trumpet is blown and the heavens and the earth are in commotion. The ocean will transform into fire. And the earth will be pulverized with earthquakes. The heavens will break into pieces. The sun and the moon will clash into each other. The stars will lose their luster and fall from the heavens. And each one of us will come forth. يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُعْرَضُونَ لَا تَخْفَى مِنْكُمْ خَافِيَةً. On that day you shall be brought forth, presented. إِنَّكُمْ تُحْشَرُونَ حُفَاتًا عُرَاتًا. Indeed, each one of you will be resurrected, barefoot, naked and uncircumcised. كَمَا بَدَأْنَا أَوَّلَ خَلْقٍ نُعِيدُ. Like we were created for the first time. Who can escape that? What power do we have to stop the sun from rising and to stop the sun from setting? We cannot stop the clock from ticking. Our lives are passing. We are becoming older. And one day we shall لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. And after that, the processes will be set into motion of Qiyamah and Hisab. We have no opportunity. We have no ability to stop this. This is the inevitable end of insan. This is how the human story will end. This is the destiny of mankind, to stand before the Lord of the worlds. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. The day when mankind stands before the Lord of the worlds, and then we shall be brought to judgment. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Whoever did an atom's worth of good will see it. Whoever did an atom's worth of evil will see it. اقرأ كتابك. Read your own book. كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا. You are sufficient to take yourself to account. People will beg to be sent back into this world. رَبَّنَا أَبْصَرْنَا وَسَمِعْنَا فَرْجِعْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا إِنَّا مُوقِنُونَ. Please send us back in this world. Give us another chance. We shall do good. This is the opportunity to do good, brothers. Wallahi, once we are gone from this world, ask the people of the graves. They have nothing but nadamat and afsos, nothing but hasara, nothing but remorse and regret for the time that was wasted in this world without the remembrance of Allah. According to a hadith, the people of paradise who were granted the bounty and the blessings of entering paradise will regret nothing of this world except the time that they spent in this world without the dhikr of Allah. Subhanallah, how precious are these moments. We either invest them in making or breaking our akhirah. So Yawm al-Qiyamah is the fourth stage, and after this, each one of us will be sent to our eternal abode, our eternal destination, which is either the gardens of paradise or the pits of hell. May Allah protect us. And to conclude upon a beautiful hadith, two hadith Qudsi actually. One is about the final abode. May Allah make this come true for all of us. أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحِينَ. I have prepared for my righteous servants. مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ. In paradise, what no eye has ever seen. وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ. What no ear has ever heard. وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. And that which has not even occurred to the heart of any human. Allah is saying, I have prepared this for you in paradise. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ. And the second hadith Qudsi, inshaAllah, upon which I will finish. And this is the tashkeel. Allah says, Utlubni, search for me. It's so beautiful. The whole of human existence is encapsulated in this one hadith. Allah says, Son of Adam, Utlubni tajidni, search for me and you will find me. فَإِنْ وَجَدْتَنِي وَجَدْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. If you find me, you have found everything. وَإِنْ فُتَّنِي فَاتَكَ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ. If you lose me, you have lost everything. وَأَنَا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. I am better for you than anything. Why are we turning away from the مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. What has caused us to turn away from the most bountiful, merciful, loving, وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودِ, the forgiving and the loving one, who loves us 70 times more than our own mothers does. And yet we turn our backs on him and we become slaves of our own desires. This is injustice upon our own selves, and it's injustice. We are taking his blessings and it's as if we're spitting back in his face. Na'udhu billah. That's literally what we give our a'mal. And then we wonder, where is the help of Allah? Why do we find ourselves in such traumatic circumstances? Because the a'mal directly impact the ahwal. So, my beloved brothers in Islam, let us all make an intention to become the people of Allah. Who makes a firm intention that from today until the day I die, I want to do nothing which displeases my Lord. I want to live a life which will earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will attract the mercy and the blessings of Allah, which will be a blessing for myself, for my family, for my community, for all the people, you know, in Lancaster, in the university, where we are spending time. And remember, brothers, remember the non-Muslims have a right upon us as well. And unfortunately, we have become the biggest obstacle and the barrier between non-Muslims and Islam. When they see the Muslims, they don't witness the beauty of Islam. They witness the ugliness of the Muslims. And they are repelled by what they see. It's not because there's anything intrinsically wrong with Islam. It's because we have succeeded in making something beautiful ugly. That's the what we've done is taken a beautiful religion and made it look ugly. Because our own actions and lifestyle are contrary. And this is something which we will have to answer before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment. Now, he gave his life in order that people could be attracted to the beauty of his message. And yet we have driven thousands and millions of people away because of our appalling actions. And we should be ashamed of ourselves. So self-rectification, like they say, charity begins at home. And in order to rectify society, We cannot rectify what's out there in the world till we rectify what's in here within ourselves. You must be the change you wish to see in the world. And this is the beautiful wisdom and philosophy and ethos of going in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this concept of taking some time and spending devoted time in the house of Allah, these places, the most beloved places upon the earth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are His houses. And the fact that we have been blessed to spend some time here and listen to the words of Allah and His Rasul is a sign that Allah loves us. If Allah did not love us, why would He have called you inside His house? So it's a sign that you already are the beloved of Allah. But what we need to do is establish ourselves as people, just as Allah has invited us into His home, we have to make a space for Allah within our hearts, so that Allah becomes qalbul mu'min arshur rahman, the heart of the believer becomes the throne of the most merciful. And one of the ways of achieving this is to prolong the amount of time we spend in the masajid. So to have a firm connection to the masajid. So I know in the university, you're very blessed in Lancaster that the university has a wonderful multi-faith prayer room. Alhamdulillah, I've been there and there's lots of, it's very comfortable and there's a wonderful atmosphere there. There's people from all around the world. But at the same time, the masajid are the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the dedicated place which have been consecrated for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to keep a connection with the houses of Allah is also very important. And so let it not be that, yes, we offer our salawat in the prayer room at the expense of coming to the masjid. So yes, if you're in the middle of a lecture and then you need to, or in between lectures and that's the most convenient place, absolutely go and offer your salah there. You know, fantastic. But in the evening or on weekends, if you're able to come to the masjid, then come to the masjid. And then just as the masjid has beautiful physical architecture, it also has spiritual architecture. And the spiritual architecture of the masajid are the a'mal that keep it alive. And so in between the salawat, to sit and wait for salah is a form of ibadah. It's in the authentic hadith. To recite the Quran, to make dhikr, and to make ta'aleem, to basically teach and learn the words of Allah and His Rasul, to have halaqa of hadith. Riyadu Salihin is a wonderful book full of pearls of wisdom which came forth from the most blessed tongue to have ever uttered words in human history, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to sit in those gatherings and to humble ourselves, like in the hadith of Jibreel, the posture of learning is taught, to sit in with humility and to open the hearts and to allow the nur of this kalam, these words, to penetrate into the heart. This becomes transformative. So to take out time, the masjid is not just a place for ibadah, it's also a place for ta'aleem, it's also a place for tazkiyah, and it's also a place for tabligh. These are all the a'mal of the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, if we take out some time from our busy schedules, not when there's exams on, no one's asking you to interfere with your studies, right? We should be the best, we should be role models and ambassadors by achieving the best marks. But at the same time, our focus on our studies shouldn't come at the expense of our focus on our deen. It's not like a seesaw where one goes up and the other goes down. No, both of them we need to be at the forefront. We need to excel in our studies and we need to excel in our spiritual life as well. And one of the most best and effective ways for us to establish a strong foundation of iman, which enables us to live a life of a'mal as-salih, is a tried and tested methodology of taking out regular time and spending it in the masjid, in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's basically like a spiritual retreat. And we take out, for example, a weekend, we go on the Friday evening and we spend time till the Sunday evening. And during this time, we learn about the Sahaba, the beautiful, blessed souls who were chosen by Allah to become the companions of His beloved messenger. And the sifat, the qualities which were in their lives, we listen to the Quran and we teach one another the pronunciation of the letters of the Quran. We listen to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we learn, we develop the confidence where each one of us individually are able to talk about Allah and His Rasul and the life after death and the purpose of life. So inshallah, another reason that you are very fortunate in Lancaster is that this coming weekend there will be a spiritual retreat which is taking place, and you will also be blessed by having a qualified scholar who will be part of that retreat. So inshallah, one of the things, because many talks come, like many talks are delivered, and at the end of it, we need to think to ourselves, like, if life is so precious, where are we investing our moments? And like, if you've just invested 45 minutes in a talk here now, what will be the benefit of this for you? Is there going to be something, a fruit, which will hope perpetually benefit you for the rest of your life and hopefully your next afterlife as well? So to derive the maximum benefit from this talk, my humble request to all of the attendees and participants would be to give your names to participate in the retreat which will be happening this coming weekend, insha'Allah ta'ala, so that this talk becomes the springboard, a stepping stone to something greater. And then the retreat becomes a springboard and a stepping stone to something beyond that. And we continue to progress on our spiritual journey. And wa anna ila rabbikal muntaha. And the end, the ultimate goal is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, I will now hand over to Sheikh Qasim, inshallah. And if any, Allah has put in your heart the thought that you would like to participate in this retreat coming on the weekend, then please do have the courage to stand up and just share your name. Jazakallah khair.
Friday the 21st, inshallah, 48 hours, within the environment of the masjid, engaging ourselves in the amal of hidayat and guidance, within the company of the angels, what better environment can we have, my dear brothers? Refreshing our iman, then taking that back to the university, our studies, and working and progressing in our studies with that frame of mind and that mindset that I am the abd of Allah, I need to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow the beautiful ways of Rasul alayhi salam. I'm sure the students, they've been out before, last year, the year before, we took out about 13 brothers into Jamia Masjid Blackburn and some other masajid as well. Students did benefit, mashallah. Be of halqa for the sake of Allah. So brothers, please give your names. 48 hours is nothing. For the sake of Allah. وَمَنْ جَاهَدَ فَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهِدُ لِنَفْسِهِ Whoever strives, he will reap the fruits. إِنْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ If you do anything good, you're doing it for your own self. So brothers, I'm ready, inshallah. Local brothers, we also give your name, mashallah. Brother Farooq, mashallah. So this is for just 48 hours from next Friday, inshallah. Brother Saad, mashallah. Ji.
Maaz.
Brother Maaz, mashallah. Brother Maaz, where are you from?
Karachi.
Karachi, mashallah. Allah come to you, Ji. What is your name, brother?
Hassan.
Hassan, where are you from?
Pakistan.
Yes.
7 days in December, inshallah.
7 days in December. Say, Fulham. Weekend, you've done 10 days in December, another 2 days,
inshallah.
Allah kabul kar, mashallah. And where's Adam?
In the middle of
Adam, can you stand up, please? Where is he?
Inshallah.
Stand up. Even standing up is something that Allah loves, my dear brothers, because this harakah is for the sake of deen. Theek hai, Adam? Weekend next week, inshallah, yeah? Stand up. Any more students? This is more focused towards our students. Locals are coming to do your nusrat. We are joining you for your khidmat. It's more for the students, this jamaat is.
What about these two brothers? You came with us last time. Come on, Habibi. You should be the one who should be inspiring others. Yes, inshallah. Bismillah. Where there's a will, there's a way, inshallah. Yes. I forgot your name.
Ahmed.
Sorry?
Ahmed.
Ahmed. And our lovely brother next to you? I remember you came both the times ago, both of you, mashallah. You know, brother Shaitan, he has a very amazing plan and a trick. Hafiz, I'm sorry, you're coming, mashallah, yeah? Allah kabul kare, mashallah. You know, Shaitan, brothers, he will tell you to do your own stuff. Shaitan,
one day.
But you, Yusuf.
Inshallah.
Shaitan will say to you, just do your ibadat. Read your namaz. Which is good as well, definitely. Do your own stuff. You don't need to remind others. You don't need to encourage others. It's very easy to do your own stuff, brothers. But when it comes to reminding, giving da'wah, encouraging others, Shaitan brings obstacles. Oh, who are you to tell him? What standard do you have to? You don't have the knowledge. You don't have the authority. You're not a sheikh. Brother, you don't have to be a sheikh to tell somebody to do something good. بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً رَسُولُ عَلَيْهِ سَلَّمَ says. Even if you know one thing, invite, inspire, motivate, encourage. Yes, there's a method of doing it. With love and affection. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said to Ali رضي الله عنه يا علي لأن يهدي الله بك رجلا واحدا خير لك من حمر النعم. وعلي فالله guides one person through you. It's better for you than a red sheep camel. It's better for you than a very great asset which was considered at that time. The effort of Dawud, brothers, is an effort of every single prophet that came onto the face of this earth. 124,000 prophets. We have to understand this responsibility. We have two accountabilities. One is for my own self, that my life has to come on ta'at, submission to Allah and Rasul alayhi salatu salam. Second responsibility for you and I is that we have a collective responsibility. One is your individual, one is collective. Collective responsibility we all have. And the hadith is the hadith of Safina, the hadith of the ship in which Rasul alayhi salatu salam says, there's some boats on the lower deck, some boats on the upper deck. The one on the lower deck, they say, oh, let's just drill a hole underneath to get the water. You don't need to go upstairs and bother those who are on the upper deck. And if those who are on the upper deck, they see them making a hole and drilling a hole, if they don't stop them, the entire ship will wreck. And it will drown, cause destruction. So by the brothers, we are responsible for the ummah at large. If one Muslim is not offering his salah, it's my responsibility. Let me speak, let me talk. And the amazing effect of da'wah is when I speak, the importance and the significance of that will come to me. Because I'm speaking, I'm talking, I'm making the effort. If you make an effort, Allah opens the doors of Jannah. Yani the doors of the amal that take you to Jannah. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. What does لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا means? Allah will guide them towards those a'mal that take you to Jannah. So brothers, mashallah, making them. Even in the university, make your tarjeeb. Visit the brothers. There are hundreds and thousands of brothers, Muslim brothers. Sisters, we can't even talk about it. Who are oblivious. They come into this country and they think it's a totally freedom. Nobody's watching me, Allah is watching. They get hooked up in things which is totally inappropriate, that destroys the iman. And you guys, tomorrow you're going to be the cream of the society when you go back to your fields and your localities. You'll have people underneath you, that you will be the supervisors and the managers. And you will have the authority. If I go back with a right mindset, I'm able to pass this on to others. Allah will make me the means of hidayat of so many. If I have the right mindset. So brothers, mashallah, next weekend, these brothers who's made intention, I just repeat myself, Brother Farooq, Brother Saad, Brother Muaz, Hafiz Huzaifa, Brother Hassan, Brother Ilyas, Brother Saifullah, Brother Adam, Brother Khaldun, and Brother Ahmed, and Situ, and Hafiz Abdul Rashid, and Dr. Kareem, and Brother Yusuf, who was the last one? Brother Yusuf. These brothers, please, will you sit down after the dua? Sit down for two, sit down for 3 minutes. All these brothers that mean I've just called up, let's sit down for a few minutes so we can make a tertib of how we're going to go to our destination. It's important. Otherwise, we just think, well, we just go upstairs and we'll forget about them. We need to make a bit of tertib. That 5-10 minutes after dua, let's sit down. Rest of the brothers can go upstairs for food after the dua, inshallah. Brothers, we also have our local tali, local effort taking place in this masjid. Every Sundays after Maghrib, we have Gush. I request university brothers, come down. You come down for shopping anyway. You come down to the markets anyway. Come down for this as well. It's my job, it's my responsibility, it's my duty. Engage yourself in this noble effort. Talim takes place in the university. Join in the talim. Encourage others to join in the talim. And may have the mizaj of Zakirana and Da'iyana. Zakirana mizaj means that you yourself are on the deen of Allah, conscious of your duties that you owe to Allah. And Da'iyana have the mizaj of enlightening others as well. Every mu'min should have these two qualities, Zakirana and Da'iyana. Dhikr, meaning Allah's consciousness within myself, and inviting others, talking, spreading, encouraging, motivating. Well, brothers, we'll do this inshallah. Allah Ta'ala accept you. Jazakallah for coming. And may Allah Ta'ala accept Dr. Saab's talk. Allah Ta'ala bless him as well. Save him from so another evil sight. Allah Ta'ala elevate us all, inshallah, in his eyes. May Allah make us all from his maqbool and accepted service. After the dua, brothers, please wash your hands in the wudu khana and go upstairs. Remember, upstairs is also part of masjid. So don't talk about worldly affairs. Don't chit chat. Control your sound, control your nose, control your noise. Upstairs is masjid, it's the area of masjid. So whenever we have da'wats and food arranged upstairs, please keep the level of our noise in control as it's exactly as we are sitting downstairs. So these brothers, please, after dua, we just sit down for 5 minutes, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكنن من الخاسرين اللهم لا اله الا انت سبحانك انا كنا من الظالمين اللهم انك عفو كريم الرحيم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا رحيم يا كريم ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار اللهم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب Oh Allah forgive us Ya Allah we thank you for the gift and the blessing to be able to sit here in your home Ya Allah accept all of our sitting Ya Allah accept the words which were spoken Ya Allah forgive the deficiencies Ya Allah forgive the bad intentions Ya Allah Through the blessings of all of the brothers who are gathered here, accept all of us, Ya Allah, accept all of the intentions that were made. Ya Allah, all of the goodness which is within the hearts, Ya Allah, make it a source of goodness coming into existence in the world. Ya Allah, protect us from the evil of shaitan and of our own desires. Ya Allah, keep us strong on the straight path. Ya Allah, the temptation of evil is very powerful in the world. Ya Allah, in this day and age, in this society, Ya Allah, keep us strong. Ya Allah, keep our feet firm. Ya Allah, اللهم يا مثبت القلوب ثبت ديني ثبت قلبي على دينك يا مقلب القلوب ثبت Ya Allah, please keep us firm and keep us steadfast. Ya Allah, and allow us to die with the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah upon our lips. Jazallahu anna Muhammadur Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ahlu rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta sami'u al-alim wa tab'alini maulana innaka anta tawab al-rahim. Bifadli subhanahu rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun al-mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.